What is up, everybody? Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we're talking about all the news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. Phase 4 slate has been announced. Oh, yeah. And we're going to have a guest host with us today. David C. Robertson from the DC On Screen podcast is going to be joining me to go over the San Diego Comic-Con details. Let's do it.
Chocolate! You said to throw in some flavor if I felt like it.
I did. I regret it. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
I'm David C. Robertson.
What's up, David C. Robertson? Welcome to the podcast. Hadn't had you on in a while.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good. It's good. It's good. And also, it feels very normal because now we do the Star Trek podcast together. So this feels like an old shoe.
Yep, an old raggedy shoe that you should have thrown away years ago.
I wasn't talking about our friendship. I was just talking about like the... All right. Dave's going to help me out. Unfortunately, Jeff is sick today. I couldn't wait to get something out about San Diego Comic-Con. So much news. The slate has been announced. I can't believe it. I think first thing we should do is run down the slate. What do you think? Just like go down what's being announced and throw just like initial comments on what we think about each of these, like the on a macro level. So we got Black Widow.
Yeah, May 1st.
May 1st, 2020. So this is going to be the longest time we've had between Marvel movies in a while, July to May. It's been a long time. And I feel like that's very deliberate to give us a gap. But Black Widow finally getting her own movie.
Absolutely. And man, I'm excited about it. And, you know, I really dig that Yelena Belova's in it, and I feel like they're going to pass the torch. I think this probably is Scarlett Johansson's final MCU movie. So I'm really excited about that.
Given the events of Endgame, I think that's very likely that this is her last. A lot of people talked about how she was kind of short-shrifted in Avengers Endgame. She got her death, but it wasn't nearly with the fanfare that Cap and Tony did.
Mm.
I think... And I mean, it was sad, but like it wasn't nearly as epic. And it happens in the middle of the movie and she doesn't get to participate in that big last battle. Like it was just kind of a bummer. And so I think this will give more weight to her death. And I think that's nice that we're going to get like kind of a swan song from her.
Yeah, I agree.
Really cool. So, keeping it moving down the slate, we're going to have our first Disney Plus series.
That's right. And I do think it's funny, you know, there are a number of MCU fans who claim that the Netflix shows and the ABC shows aren't canon and all the other, you know, myriad Marvel shows aren't canon to the MCU. And I think this is the first time we've actually seen TV shows in the freaking phase slate.
For sure. Yeah, this is an entirely new way of making shows. And, I mean, this is coming from the movie studio. This is not going to be a separate... I think that the TV shows up till now have been canon, but they have not been able to be tied together the way we all wanted them to.
Right.
Very, very small nods have been made. did you... Like, in Endgame... Or in Endgame, there was the great nod to Agent Carter, Jarvis being in it. That was really, really cool.
Absolutely.
Even in Captain Marvel, do you know about Blackout being in that?
Oh, Captain Marvel and Blackout. No, yeah. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there was
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes. How cool
Holy
is
crap.
That? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I never noticed.
In the bar, when she meets Fury... The actor who plays Blackout is the bartender, and so they asked the producers, like, was he intended to be Blackout at an earlier time? And they were like, yeah.
That's like, awesome.
Isn't that cool? So they're starting to do, and I think this universe is a living thing that they're moving back and forth with the fans, and I think they got so much pushback that they weren't getting these things tied together in the tight way we wanted that I think that's why they're doing some of these small nods. We've been saying on the podcast for years, that's all it'll take is some small nods like that for us to feel validated Yeah. You know, no one even noticed that Blackout, like, if I don't even remember what Blackout looked like, I found out after the fact, you know?
Yeah, so, I don't even remember anything about that episode except for Amy Acker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Which should be of no surprise. It certainly won't be to my wife.
I really want, there's stuff going on this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and mm-hmm. There's a character that I just really wanted to be played by Amy Acker. Because it kind of would have made some weird sense. But and I,
is it like Sarge's wife or something?
Kind of. Or no, it's actually his. Yeah. We don't actually know yet is the answer okay. to that question. There's like, it's a mystery sort of. But this lady steps on the scene and she has some sort of connection to Sarge, who is okay. the Nega Coulson or whatever.
Nega Coulson.
What's really fun is this character who I thought should be played by Amy Acker uh-huh. is pulling off like brightly colored hair and sort of like she's doing the real like villain sort of thing, which is mm-hmm. very much what Amy Acker did at the end of Angel, you know, when she took on that
Illyria.
Illyria, yeah. So I was like, man, if that would have been such a great weed and throw out if Amy Acker had played this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that is really deep nerd stuff right there, and you have to be fans of those specific things to care. So let's move on to Fall 2020, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Falcon and Winter Soldier, man. I'm excited about that. I am mostly very excited because they're going to do Baron Zemo, but they're going to have him in the comic book accurate costume, which is strange to me.
Yeah, that is weird. I don't know why the Baron Zemo we met would put on that costume.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that Daniel Brühl will not be in that costume the entire thing. Like, I think that...
Oh, probably not. No.
Just like they did with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones and Hellcat and all these characters, I think they will have it for a moment in the comic book appropriate costume just to give that nod. Mm-hmm. I doubt he's going to be in it the entire show.
Right.
Or like, unless there's some really weird explanation as to why he wears that the whole time. I'm very excited about this new phase of these shows because it's going to be so connected. Like you said, it's in the slate, man.
Yeah, it's in the slate. No getting around it now, guys.
Looking at the 2021 slate is insane because there are three big budget movies and two big budget like Disney Plus shows.
And you know, one of the exciting things to me is this slate, I feel like, opens up certain possibilities. They are leaning so heavily into the multiverse concept now that even if the Netflix series, even if they want to come back and say, like, okay, well, now we have a new Daredevil. And people are like, what? No. We're like, we're doing multiverse, baby.
Right.
It's still connected. You know, like... I don't know. Like I feel like it's weird, and I feel like multiverse is how they're going to bring in X-Men and maybe Fantastic Four.
We'll see. They talked about it a little bit mm-hmm. with the mutants and
Yes, girl.
And he said it's going to be a very different version than we've got in the past.
Yeah.
And I think they might just embrace like mutants as a brand new thing. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm mm-hmm. hesitant to go all in on the multiverse just because it starts to feel at some point multiverse starts to feel like nothing has stakes.
You say that, but you know we're about to see Crisis on Infinite Earths on the CW shows, and as many problems as I had that with those shows, oh my god, total stakes.
Yeah. It's very possible they'll pull it off, but I just find...
If anyone could, it would be Marvel, man. I mean,
I agree. And as long as you're taking care that you're following a character through those universes and you're caring mm-hmm. about a certain character, like it'll work. It's just a matter of making sure you're doing that.
I mean, I do think that there is an amount of stakes that have been lost because, like, as we'll talk about in a minute, we're going to have a Loki series. And they have confirmed it is the Loki from Endgame, not our Loki.
Right, which, what does that mean? Because the problem that I have with that is the writers and directors of the movie don't seem to agree on how time travel and alternate universes work.
That's right.
So I'm a little worried they're just going to say, yeah, that Loki escaped, and now he exists again in our universe. And then that I have all kinds of problems with that, unless they do some sort of magic.
I think there's going to be plenty of that. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, let's get to that.
November 8th, 2020, we get the Eternals, Jack the King Kirby's glorious, triumphant saga that I don't think ever actually got finished.
Oh, really?
I don't think he got to do everything. Or maybe I'm thinking of New Gods. I always confuse the backstories of when and how he was coming up with those. But they're both being made into movies, so
mm-hmm.
Yay, King Kirby.
A lot of Kirby on screen these days.
Absolutely. I am excited about that, and I was in love with how much Kirby love they put into Ragnarok.
Yeah, for sure.
The design work in the backgrounds looked like Kirby designs, and a lot of the way that they rendered the energy effects in that movie looked like the Kirby Crackle. I think that's probably in my top three favorite MCU movies, and I feel a little funny because I think that a large part of that is because of how much love they gave to Kirby in there.
Yeah.
But I don't keep up with Marvel news. Like, I was so excited on Saturday because all the Star Trek stuff dropped, and then, like, I had forgotten Marvel was even at Hall H, because
right.
Sometimes they don't really go there. Sometimes they wait to D23, which apparently they're going to still go and kind of release some more stuff there this year.
I'm sure with me and you both do the Star Trek podcast, and then you do the DC On Screen podcast, so you have like literal professional interest in like making sure you follow all that stuff, and so the Marvel stuff you just hear when you hear.
Yeah, and also I kind of like to not know things.
I totally get that.
Because like Marvel is my haven for just non-spoilers. Like, I just go and I'm like, what is happening? This is crazy.
They're doing that? Crazy kids.
So I don't know. Maybe you know, because I mean, I'm so far behind on some of the stuff that you guys talk about on this show that I've kind of gotten behind on listening. Because I don't listen. I mean, I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, or I'm really behind on that and all the Netflix shows. And there's so much stuff I haven't watched.
Yeah, we're a little behind on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm caught up on watching it, but we're not caught up casting. We were supposed to do that today, but Jeff got sick, so we're just gonna be able to do this episode today.
Had they announced previously all of these people who were in the Eternals?
Most of them, I believe.
Most of them?
I'm not totally sure. I know Kumail Nanjiani had been announced.
I like that cat.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He's a real cool guy, good artist, real funny.
I am excited to see Brian Tyree Henry in this thing. That guy is blowing up. He's going to be in the new Joker movie. He's in the new Child's Play reboot. He's Paperboy on Atlanta, which is where I primarily know him from. I love Atlanta. It's a fantastic show.
And yeah, it is.
I guess it's probably not coming back anytime soon because Donald Glover and Brian Tyree freaking Henry won't stop doing shit. Yeah, I don't, you know, Salma Hayek, I mean, there's just a lot of, Angelina Jolie, who the hell knew she was going to be showing up in a Marvel movie?
Yeah. I to be perfectly honest, I know some of those people had been mentioned or rumored possibly, but I don't know which one, but getting them all confirmed was cool.
Yeah, so Richard Madden from Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
So that's our first next year. That's the next year what we'll be talking about on this podcast. There's also going to be another season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which they announced is wrapping it up for the show. So 2020 we'll have Black Widow in May. Probably around that time they'll release the next series of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The final season, and then we'll get Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then Eternals, and that will be our year in November. I'm not sure. I'm sure Cloak and Dagger is probably coming back, and other things like that, but we'll just have to wait and see about some of those. I'm not totally sure. But that sounds like a pretty good year. It's a light year for Marvel compared to every year recently. They've done 3 movies a year for a long time.
The Eternals is probably going to be a pretty big-ass movie, honestly, as far as just production. Who knows if it... I mean, I'm sure it's Marvel. It'll probably blow the hell up, but...
Yeah. Do we know who's directing The Eternals?
No. Well, let me see. Chloe Zhao.
Chloe Zhao.
Whoever that is. Yeah, I don't...
I'm going to look her up, because that's the thing that, to me... will matter most about setting up the Eternals as a thing that I care about. Because, you know, I'm all with you that, you know, it being Jack Kirby's vision and all this stuff, like, that's really cool. But I don't know it and don't really care too much, I guess.
Yet. It looks like she did Songs My Brother Taught Me, The Writer. She has a couple in post-production, including Eternals, and some shorts. She has not done much.
All right. Well, hopefully that means they picked someone that has a artistic vision, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see.
As opposed to a WandaVision?
I'm not going to join you in laughing because you're laughing way plenty for both of us on that one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's one of those things where, like, I enjoyed my joke, but then I enjoyed even more how dumb it was.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry.
I felt the only way to respond was to neg you on it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You did the right thing. That was God's work.
So, what do we got in 2021?
February 12th, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
This is very exciting.
This is very exciting. I don't know Shang-Chi very well. I remember him from a few stray X-Men stories from the 90s, and I know he was from before that. I just don't know him very well. But
the Ten Rings,
and the real Mandarin.
Yeah, that's what we've been waiting on a long time.
I know a lot of people have been like, what real Mandarin? I've heard a lot of people, and they don't bring it up, but in Hail to the King, I think it was called.
Yep.
Wasn't it called
That's
that?
Correct.
The short film on the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray. We see Trevor Slattery get in a bit deep with the actual Mandarin. And we don't actually ever see the real Mandarin. We just know that he's out there somewhere.
Yeah, and he doesn't like that Trevor used his name.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been seeing Ten Rings tattoos and such. First in Iron Man 1, there are Ten Rings tattoos on the men who capture him in the cave.
Yeah.
And in Ant-Man, there are Ten Rings tattoos on the Hydra operatives who are working for I forget the character's name, but Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I
can't remember his name.
Jeff, that's one thing Jeff would probably have, and I don't have it. That's the big headline to me on that one is the Ten Rings, and seeing, I'm wondering how much they will align that with Hail to the King, if that will be what they go with, that sort of, if that's the Mandarin we're getting, or if they'll retcon Hail to the King. Not that we really met. We didn't meet him, so...
No, we didn't meet him.
My point is, if they'll make it line up with that. Like, if we meet a Mandarin who is just becoming the Mandarin or something like that, then that won't line up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on what time period it's set in.
Sure.
And, you know, I don't know anything.
I don't either.
He looks like an older guy.
Yeah, that's true. They could have, like, the kind of origins of the Mandarin or something like that and go back to the whatever.
Tony Leung...
Cool.
He's been in a ton of stuff, so.
Neat.
Google's got like 5 entries, and it says, view 45 plus more.
Oof.
Holy crap.
It's crazy.
Okay. And then we've got Simu Lu, maybe, as Shang-Chi himself. Again, I'm not excited about that. I'm excited about Mandarin. I don't know this guy. I don't know the character very well. So that's where I'm coming from. And it's directed by Destin Daniel Cretton.
Yeah. I do love a well-done kung fu movie, though. And
I can take them or leave them.
Spring 2021. This one I don't know how I feel about. I'm down because they've earned all the, you know, benefit of the doubt. But WandaVision, I don't know, man. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, I've heard that it looks like the 1950s. Okay.
Okay.
I've heard that Kevin Feige has said that it's a strange show. I am very excited about it. Paul Bettany has said he doesn't even know if he's alive or dead in this thing. Or how this happened.
It's a ways away. You know, and TV shows don't get filmed that far in advance. So it's very possible they just don't have much on this yet.
And we have Teyonna Paris playing an adult Monica Rambeau from Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
So here's the thing, though. They said that the next thing on our list that happens May 7th, 2021, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, love that title.
Oh, I love it so much. There is such a retro pulp pastiche. I love it so much. It makes me happy in places I didn't know I had.
I feel like this entire slate has that sort of retro pastiche thing going.
Me too.
Even Falcon and Winter Soldier feels that way.
A little bit.
But
Falcon and Winter Soldier feels very 70s to me.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
WandaVision feels very retro. 1950s.
And talking about retro, the Eternals is going to have that Kirby vibe. It's going to feel that way. This entire slate is feeling sort of, and I mean, even Black Widow is a spy thriller. Like, these are all sort of, it all feels very, and of course, Thor Love and Thunder, which we haven't even gotten to yet, but man.
That looks brilliant. Okay. People are like, how is it in the 1950s if it happens after Endgame? Wanda's a reality bender.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally in the comics, when she experiences grief, shit happens. One of the things, when she lost her children, she created the House of M reality. She warped the entire world into being mutants everywhere and Magneto ruling everything. Pretty much. And then at the end of that, guess what? She said, no more mutants.
Yep.
Which devastated the mutant population.
So given that, and given that they've mentioned that mutants are coming, how likely do you think, given that it looks like this show might introduce her reality bending powers, she's going through grief, she might get her reality bending powers.
I mean, I think it's probably the way that Vision comes back. I would not be surprised if we see Pietro show up as well.
Yes. What I'm thinking, even bigger though, could this be how they introduce mutants?
Now, I absolutely think is a possibility, and because you're going to want to keep the backstory of mutants. And any kind of reality bending is just going to probably create some sort of alternate reality. I don't see how it wouldn't. And they say that this WandaVision show plays very strongly into Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. And she is going to be co-starring with Doctor Strange in that film.
Yes.
With Benedict Cumberbatch.
So what if he's trying to put right the universe that she shatters or something like that, you know? Or like,
possibly.
She does something pretty insane, and then by the end of this, we have the world back, but mutants have existed all along or something like that.
Yeah, but she's a mutant, but her powers play into magic very, very strongly.
Right.
So,
and she's not a mutant technically in this universe yet, because mutants our thing, of course, but like, yes, in the comics. So I don't know, man.
I think it's probably a pretty good bet that if they don't mention it, it'll at least be teased, and this the WandaVision and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness will be a stepping stone to it. Or a catalyst.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how if those seem, by just talking about them, knowing that Elizabeth Olsen's going to be in both, and knowing that with her reality bending powers, and it's called Multiverse of Madness, how much are you going to have to see WandaVision to understand Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness? That I'm curious about that, because they've always done a good job of making the movies stand alone without having to watch the television shows.
I have complete faith, and I think I can see it. Like, you would think that a lot of different things that they've already made, you would be like, oh my god, there's no way they're going to be able to make this movie without this movie. And then you can come in and go, oh yeah, they could have done that. Yeah, absolutely. I can see not having seen Ant-Man, even though Ant-Man is coming, you know, back and in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's different, though, to me a little bit.
It might be.
For the same reason they're so connected, they've never been this important to the overall universe, and it excites me, but it also makes me curious how they're going to handle that, and if they have to, and if they're going to continue doing it how they have always done it, where I think they're trying really hard to get people to subscribe to Disney Plus. Like, I think they're gambling big. Yeah. I think part of they finished Endgame, and that's their big art piece, and now they're like, all right, how can we leverage our Marvel universe? Which, you know, I don't want to be too pessimistic about it, but it is a little I don't know, little leveragey. They're leveraging their beloved Marvel universe to be like, all right, everybody, you love that thing we did for 10 years, pay us.
I don't see it as any kind of a gamble. If they didn't put any Marvel on there at all, it would still be hugely successful. There's no way people are signing up for Disney Plus.
My point is the gamble would be if they make. I mean, if it weren't for Marvel, I wouldn't sign up for Disney Plus. I wouldn't care. There's very little Disney that I care about. I know they own a lot now. But I probably wouldn't sign up for Disney Plus, but Marvel is going to make me. Like, and the gamble is, if they make the WandaVision show, for instance, so important to the plot of Doctor Strange that you need it to understand the Multiverse of Madness, or like to really get it, which I don't think they'll do. I don't think they'll do.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do
gamble.
That.
That's the gamble I'm talking about, is if they were to lean in so hard that you need to know what happened with Falcon and Winter Soldier to understand the next Avengers movie or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. That's the gamble I was describing, though.
Yeah, I don't think the general audience will miss a beat if they don't see WandaVision, but they know they've got enough Marvel fans. Most of us are gonna check out that service, obviously. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
And then we get another spring show. So spring 2021, we get WandaVision, and then again, still in the spring. So this is going to be the same like 3-month period. We're going to get WandaVision, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and Loki.
And I do want to point out, we have WandaVision, which is reality bending. Doctor Strange right after, which is Multiverse of Madness. We have spring 2021, Loki, which follows an alternate universe version of Loki, and then directly after, summer 2021, What If?
Yeah. The entirety of 2021, except for Shang-Chi, which we don't know what it is yet, is multiverse. Like, the entirety of 2021. That's crazy.
And What If, I'm sure you guys have talked about those comics on this show.
A little bit, yeah.
Fantastic. I love those types of things. I love What If. I love the Elseworlds books over on DC. I love alternate universe type stuff. It's one of my favorite bits of, you know, Mirror Mirror over in Star Trek. I love all of the multiverse stuff. Can't wait for this series. So many of the actors of the MCU have come back and said they're going to do this thing. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about multiverse, and I know I sound down on it sometimes. But the thing about multiverse that worries me is my favorite things. All of my favorite things are one big connected universe. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love Buffy and Angel. You know, like, I love that, how it all ties together. I love Star Trek. I love Marvel Cinematic Universe. I love how they make these big overarching stories. And you know, when Captain America is in this movie and he says, I can do this all day. That's the same Captain America who said that 10 movies ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you start introducing the multiverse, you are stepping away from that concept of one connected universe. I'm not saying it has to be bad. It can be great. And if you maintain that you're sticking with the same group of characters throughout, mm-hmm. which obviously What If won't be. What If to me is just fun. It's going to be for fun. I'm fine with it.
Absolutely.
I'm not mad at that. I am a little nervous about introducing too much multiverse into my, into my very connected, very solid universe, you know?
Well, I think that's the way you're going to do it. I think that's the way they're going to play. And I've said this, I think, every time I've been on the show in the last 3 years, which is probably 3 or 4 times. There is going to come a day when they don't want to give up their universe, but they also want Iron Man back.
Sure.
And that's probably how they're going to do it, because Reed Richards bringing in Fantastic Four and Phase 5, as they're talking about, like, Reed Richards has freaking communication with hundreds and hundreds of Reed Richards in other alternate universes. He has a wall of screens where he just talks to all of them. They have, like, meetings and shit.
Right.
Like,
well, that's there's, you know, we'll see. We'll see if they lean into that or not.
I mean, we'll just see, but... You know, I'm just looking at the comics and looking at, you know, Marvel going total multiverse in this freaking 2021.
I agree with you. They'll eventually want to bring back Iron Man. Great character, mm-hmm. great merchandising possibilities. But I also think that, like, they know they have been rewarded for telling a cogent, creative story that had stakes.
Yeah, and I think they still could. Like, they could, you know, introduce, you know, they could do like a mashup and grab the Ironheart character, like 15-year-old black girl, and just name her Tonya Stark.
Right.
You have a new character, even though that universe's Tony.
Sure.
And we still had our Tony. He still made the sacrifice he made. The stakes are still there. We're not getting Robert Downey Jr. back. I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I hope that's the way they go.
I think we'll get some stuff like that for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just such still a pretty deep bench, especially with the introduction of the mutants and the Fantastic Four in probably Phase 5. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a huge bench and of characters to pull from. And I think they've got another 10 years in them before they would have to really start rebooting things. Not that they can't do versions of things, or like you said, bring in Ironheart, or obviously they're already doing Falcon, Captain America.
Now, here's my question though. Are you because I'm not talking about reboots, you know, you could just bring in someone from an alternate reality. How much is it going to annoy you if we wind up with a Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, and Tom Holland team up?
So that bothers me less if it's specific to the kind of aesthetic of the Spider-Man movie. And I feel the mm-hmm. same way about the Doctor Strange movie. The Doctor Strange mm-hmm. movie from the very beginning has been about multiverses and how different dimensions interact. And so showing a Doctor Strange movie where they just really say, hey, here it is, multiverse, we're all in. I'm a little more fine with that. And Spider-Man has always, well, not always, but in the comics, there's a lot of multiverse stuff that goes on with Spider-Man as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of multiple Spider-Mans for multiple reasons all throughout. Right. And that stuff is kind of core to the character in a way that I think, like, if it's happening kind of in his corner of the universe, I'm a little more accepting of that. I think it's tricky to do a big crossover and into the Spider-Verse, if you will, with those, just because it basically canonizes those older movies, which I think if you're going to canonize any of the previous Marvel third-party movies, mm-hmm. That would be Blade. But if you're going to canonize another one, it would be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think Blade would be fun. And I know they're doing Blade, and that's exciting. That is super exciting. And Mahershala Ali is my jam. I love him. And I'm really excited to see what they do with him as
Blade. You're not upset that they're quote-unquote decanonizing Netflix by making Cottonmouth Blade now?
I don't think that decanonized anything. That's the same actor playing two roles.
I don't
roles.
Either. I agree completely.
the actors
I haven't
play two
seen
roles
real
sometimes.
Evidence. I haven't seen real evidence that they have just wiped Netflix from the canon. So
no. I think that the Netflix universe happened. Nothing. They never went so big with it that that you can't say that that just didn't happen in New York while all this other stuff was going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And nothing ever really. They could easily bring any of those characters back. Apparently, there's a time window. And Kevin Feige even came out and said there's a lot of great characters. He'd love to do it, but they have, you know, contracts say that they have a while before they can use any of those characters.
Yeah, and you know, we had Finn and we had Coulter. They both came out and said, you know, this is not the end. We will be back. Mm. They have to wait 2 years.
Yeah. I think that a Disney Plus series or a Hulu series would be even better. Disney now owns all of Hulu, and mm-hmm. they're doing great with Cloak and Dagger over on Hulu. It is a great show. Yeah, it's great. Like I haven't
seen it. I've heard differing opinions on that.
I think it's wonderful. I think it is like it's way better than it has a right to be, because I think it is a teen drama by like every measure, but mm-hmm. like they do really deep stuff. They tackle really interesting problems, kind of real world stakes. The stakes are great. The way they've built the relationship between the two main characters is really wonderful. I find myself crying watching that show more than I feel comfortable admitting.
Okay.
Because it's just like they do a really good job building those characters. So I highly recommend it.
Cool.
It's really good. But that's the thing. That's a Hulu original. And no, it's not actually. It's a Freeform that is on Hulu in my area or whatever. But they could easily move those Netflix shows over to Hulu if they kept the same creative teams behind them. And I think the way to do it is to do a Heroes for Hire show, because Iron Fist has never been as good as he is with Luke Cage,
mm-hmm.
and do a Daughters of the Dragon show, and then just freaking and that way you can put Misty and Colleen together on their own show, and then still have the shows interact, but make the delineation different. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be wonderful, and then. Just move Daredevil over to the big stage.
So does Jessica Jones fall in with Heroes for Hire because of her love interest with Luke Cage at some point in the books? Or?
She could. She could do like she did in the book and just become his wife. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think that's a good idea for that particular for this version of Jessica Jones. I don't think that would work.
I mean, she's pretty similar to what was in the books.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think that would work. I just don't think it would work for the character we've gotten these seasons to just like give up her like whole thing and just become a housewife with Luke Cage. It would feel.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how housewifey she got.
Oh, I've never read the books, but I've just heard that there was a time where she like gave it. I think it was during Civil War stuff, though. I think she like gave up being a hero during that time and just like raised their kid or something.
Mm.
And so that was like, so that may have just been specifically Civil War because of the whatever the Registration Act or something. I'm not mm-hmm. totally sure, to be honest. I've just seen a lot of that story. Here and there when I'm looking. I haven't read the books, though, so who knows? I could just be straight up wrong. I'm wrong a lot. And people let me know. So, yeah, everybody, let me know.
Well, you know, if you don't have a spleen, you have more room for a baby.
That's fair.
That's science.
Yeah, I would like to see... Here's what I want to see. Luke and Jessica get back together right before the blip,
so.
and she gets pregnant, and that way blips forward and they have a super 5-year-old.
All right.
I don't know, man. I'm just,
yeah, just being okay. Silly. Yeah, I know. I see.
I would really like to see how those characters deal with the blip. I'm still very curious as to, how caught up are you on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Are you just kind of know?
I my wife watches Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have seen everything up to the end of season 5, and then like 4 episodes scattered throughout this season.
Okay, so you know they have yet to deal with the snap.
Yeah, I do know they have, and I was going to ask you on this episode as like a little bonus maybe somewhere, and I guess now is as good a time to talk about it. How do they do that? Like, is this just an alternate reality now because of the time travel from last season? Or
they have not touched on it at all, but I would not put it past them ending this season with the snap.
Okay.
Now, that does conflict slightly with something that Cassius, I think, said last season. No. One of the guys from the whatever.
I saw the showrunner, one of the showrunners, I think, I can't remember if it was Jed or Marissa or whoever, was saying that this whole season takes place in a year between Thanos' initial invasion and the snap.
Whoa.
Or something?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. There is not a year between. I mean, we don't really know, I guess, is the answer, but I don't think that Peter Parker was on that spaceship for a year.
Yeah.
Like, you could make that case with all the Wakanda stuff, because there's like some time places you could put a time gap, but you can't really have Peter Parker disappear to space for a whole year and then have his classmates never noticed or whatever.
Could we headcanon it some way as to think that, you know, Kasaya saying that Thanos is already here could just be like
a lie.
Hey, and then his agents are already here preparing for the eventual invasion. I know they mentioned the weird stuff going on in New York.
Yeah, the thing about that is the weird stuff going on in New York, that's all they say. So you could easily headcanon that away by saying, oh, they're talking about Daredevil or whatever. Like, it could be anything. Anything happening in New York could be events of a Spider-Man movie, or it could be, you know, whatever. Could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff has happened in New York. It could be the explosion of that building in the Defenders or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's lots of things that could be happening in New York. We all assumed, because it came out the same week, and I think they intended for us to assume that it was that. Now, the thing that doesn't make sense is the guy, the Confederacy, the representative of the Confederacy in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. says a whole thing about how Thanos is here. He's already here, and he's already fighting your people. But that could have been a lie. Because he's trying to convince Graviton, I don't know how to say his name.
Graviton.
Graviton, thanks. He's trying to convince Graviton to...
Adrian Pasdar.
Yeah, he's trying to convince him to do what his bidding.
Pasdar?
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
So it's possible that could be a lie. That's the only headcanon I can think of, and it may not fully track. I don't know. I'd have to, and someone actually sent in, we were going to cover it on our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode. Someone sent in like a full transcript of that conversation so we could talk about it, which was nice.
Fair enough.
Talk about it on our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode next week. So look forward to this conversation happening with Jeff next week. But those are those are my two headcanons. And in that case, it's very possible that they will do the snap at the end of this season.
Yeah.
The other option is that they somehow jump timelines when they went to the future.
Yeah. Now, I saw things where they were saying that they decided to end season 7. Like, the studio came to them and said, do you have an idea for season 7? They said, nope. And then they were like, if we're going to do this, we just need to go ahead and do it and be done with it in the series on our own terms. And they went back to the studio and said, we'll do one more if we can end it.
That's great. That's my favorite way of hearing about a show ending, is when the creators want to end it. Because I think for the most part, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been a really good show, really strong. So I'm excited to see how it ends, and should be good. Well, let's keep moving down the list of we took a long detour.
I know it.
For Doctor Strange and Loki, and What If? We talked about What If. I guess the last, next thing. So that's a What If happens in the summer. It's going to be animated. The fall of 2021. So two years and some change from now.
Got Jeffrey Wright doing the voice of the Watcher, which is pretty dope.
Oh, in What If? That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is rad. So fall 2021, we get Hawkeye.
Mm-hmm. But you know he's. It looks like we're going to get a little bit of the stuff about him being Ronin and him training Kate Bishop.
Yeah, that's cool. I dig the him being Ronin stuff should be neat. Speaking of, we also didn't mention Punisher earlier, and I want Punisher back, too. I want Punisher back bad.
Yeah,
I love that show.
Absolutely.
But this version of Hawkeye, Ronin, feels a lot like Punisher. Man. It would explode my brain if Punisher showed up in a Ronin section of Hawkeye.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be so great. It would be over 2 years too, so they could totally do it. Just Punisher, Punisher. If you're writing that, please steal my idea. I'd love to see them, like, maybe they fight each other because they both think that the other one is wrong for what they're doing, but they just realize they're the same. Be good.
Yep.
It'd be good.
Just one scene of them like fighting, and then they realize what they're doing, and they just laugh, and they high five, and they walk away.
That's all we need.
okay. November 5th, 2021. The thing I am probably most excited about on this entire list.
Interesting.
Thor: Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
I was super excited a couple weeks ago when it was announced that Taika Waititi was coming back to write and direct it. Like I said, I love Ragnarok. Just love the hell out of it. And I was really excited. I didn't realize I cared this much about Natalie Portman, but I was really excited that she's coming in as Mighty Thor. That's awesome.
Yeah. Apparently today, Taika came out and said he wished people would stop calling her female Thor. I didn't read the article, but apparently that was the thing he said today. I don't know if like the way they said it was misconstrued. I don't know. I guess she's Jane Foster, just with the powers of Thor. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, he gave a correction and said that her name is Mighty Thor. That is her designation to differentiate Thor Odin's son from Mighty Thor.
I get it. So she's not just female Thor. That feels
right.
Patronizing.
She's Mighty Thor.
She's Mighty Thor. That's rad. I dig it.
And when she became Thor, or Mighty Thor, Thor started just going by Odin's son.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, I'm really excited. I always thought it was a waste of Natalie Portman to not do Mighty Thor.
Yeah, I do really love Natalie Portman in a lot of things. I have not... She's gotten the short shrift because she's good in the first one, but their relationship is so underdeveloped that it kind of pisses me off. Like their relationship is why I don't like the first Thor movie. And I should take that back. I don't not like the first Thor movie. It is the big problem I have with the first Thor movie.
Well, you know, I don't. It is as underdeveloped as most love interests are in most movies.
Yeah, except, and here, I've made this case on the cast, but it's been a couple years, so I guess I can make it again.
No good.
In the
reruns.
it's a clip show, everybody. I'm going to replay this moment from 2014. There's a moment that pisses me off so much in Thor, the first Thor movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... Loki has just taken everything Thor loves, and he's basically destroying his entire planet. Like he's taken over. He's like he's got his father in the deep sleep or whatever. He's destroying everything that Thor knows and loved. His entire life is at risk.
Uh huh.
And he's losing the fight. And Loki says something about how once he gets finished with Asgard, he's going to go down and visit Jane.
Uh-huh.
And that's what makes Thor rally. And like get up and be like, no, you won't. And it pisses me off so much because Thor has visited planets for centuries. You know, he's like an old being who's visited planets and done all these things. And he's like been saving Asgard and saving people. And he met a girl he finds attractive and they didn't develop their relationship. They developed his relationship with the older doctor way more than they did with Jane Foster.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
I agree.
And then at the end of the movie, it's Loki saying he's going to go hurt Jane. That's the thing that makes Thor fight harder. And it was just to try to make the relationship seem important. And to me, it just seemed like the exact problem with like Hollywood always having to throw in a relationship. You know, they just have to throw in a love interest, and it just didn't need it. His entire world is at risk. His brother's like, you know, threatening the throne, or he's like taking the throne and everything. Like, just he should be ready to fight, you know? I don't know. That bothers me. And then Thor the Dark World is just not very good. And so Natalie Portman, the two major movies she's in, I think that's the only two movies she's in, they're just, I don't really like what they did with her character yet. So I'm excited to see it in Taika Waititi's hands, because I think it'll be way better.
I agree. I am not a huge fan of those first two Thor movies. I really love the third, though.
Yes. I'm with you. I think I'm not a fan of the second one. I like the first one. I like how it sets up his character. But the third one is where he found his voice. They figured out Chris Hemsworth was funny, and they leaned into it pretty hard. The only thing I don't like about Ragnarok, this is a case I've made on the podcast before too, is I don't think that Taika Waititi is amazing at having emotional stakes. I think sometimes his humor is a little too jokey, to the point that I have a hard time feeling the feels when certain emotional beats happen in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, I've heard that complaint.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to make the trade.
Yeah, no, I am too, honestly. I liked it so much. Although, I rewatched Thor Ragnarok, and there's some interesting, deeper stuff going on there that I hadn't really realized before. The thing that is happening there in my mind is that Thor is realizing that his heroes are bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real arc of that movie. And I don't know, him losing his father didn't hit me like I felt like it should, but on a rewatch, I actually really appreciated the way that he realizes that his heroes are bullshit, the lore he's been told his whole life is bullshit, and in that, he finds his strength, in the like sort of truth of that, and he finds his own power and who he is. He's no longer looking to live up to who Odin is, because he realized even Odin was a flawed man. And so then he becomes his own man, and that's when he can harness lightning himself. He's no longer relying. To me, it's less about relying on the hammer, and it's more about relying on the lore and the legend that is his people and his father, and the way that he thought his father lived his life, and that's now been destroyed. Now, when that ceiling falls and he sees the warlike Odin that existed before, you know? I thought that all resonated a lot more with me on the second watching.
Yeah. I can see it. It resonated pretty heavily with me the first watching. I was down with it, man. I was down with that whole movie, I think, for the most part.
I love it. It's one of the most fun. But for me, you got a guy like James Gunn over there making Guardians, and it's like all of the fun for me that the Taika Waititi movie was, but it also makes me like weep at the right moments, you know? And that's why that's why I look at a lot of people when now it's not even an issue anymore. But the main reason I had this conversation in the past is when people were like, just let Taika Waititi do Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And I'm like, no, he's not the same. He's good, but he's not the same, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just Guardians movies aren't just about being like really fun.
Which is, you know, Taika Waititi said, I'm not the same thing as James Gunn.
Yeah.
We're friends. He should do it.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So
phase five.
Yeah. Phase five. We got a little taste of phase five, and they brought out Mahershala Ali and he's going to be Blade. And That's Wesley Snipes has released a lot of stupid things.
What did Wesley Snipes say?
Well, he was like, oh, man, much love, and, you know, it's not a big thing. You know, he's just being stupid and, like, trying to play it off like he doesn't care, and like, he thinks that, like, I mean, he, obviously he digs Ali, right? Like,
sure.
He's being supportive of that guy, which is cool. But then, like, quoting his own movies and being like, hey, MCU, haven't we been through the, down this path before? And you know, just kind of being like trolling him a little bit. And he keeps referring to his Daywalker clique.
Mm-hmm.
The people who were upset that it's not him. I don't know. He's just like, he was incredibly gracious at first, if not douchey. By trying too hard to write slang.
Right. Sounds like you have a problem with it either way, though. I don't know. He should just be gracious. Like, that's fine.
I'm not a big fan of Wesley Snipes, though. So.
Right.
He was fine as Blade. I just don't like him.
Right. I guess I don't know anything about him. But.
Well, he's a dick.
All right. I just don't have any. I don't have any knowledge of Wesley Snipes beyond the roles, and he's good. Yeah, he was great as Blade. I do think those movies would, like, if they wanted to bring in the Blade movies as canon, I think they could work. Like, I like those movies a lot. I think they had the most Marvel tone of any of those, and like I said, those in Spider-Man.
I wouldn't mind them being a part of the multiverse,
right? Well, they are. That's official.
That's right. The one thing about if they did somehow bring in the original Blade movies, I would love to see Hannibal King come back and it be Ryan Reynolds, and for Deadpool to make fun of that.
That'd be good. Or I'd like to see Deadpool fight alongside Blade at some point and maybe a joke be made. Does it seem familiar to you? Could be good, man. I really hope they're able to maintain Deadpool in this new incarnation. Ryan Reynolds Deadpool. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't.
No, I've read they are going to several times.
Have you? I have not read anything official about that yet. I've read people saying it could happen. I could be wrong. I don't keep up with the news as much as I could. I basically get all my news from Jeff on this show, so
and yeah, I mean, they haven't made official announcements, but
right.
I'm pretty sure Deadpool's sticking around. I think Ike was saying that that Deadpool is definitely going to be around for a while.
Good. I really hope that's the case.
Feige says at the end of all the announcements at SDCC, we didn't even mention that we're making Black Panther 2. Crowd erupts. He says, we didn't mention that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming. We didn't even have time to talk about Captain Marvel 2, by the way. I didn't even have time to talk about the Fantastic Four. And there's no time left to talk about mutants.
Like, what a troll. What a troll.
Please. Now, then there's plenty of shit that they are not telling us, because they, like, in a subsequent interview, Feige was saying, like, they actually, like, argued back and forth about whether or not they should release 4 and 5.
Wow. They definitely should have. I'm sure we'll find out soon. Maybe they'll release 5 at whatever. I doubt it. We'll probably get a couple movies before they release anything else.
He did say that this, what he released, what they, you know, announced here at SDCC is the final Phase 4 slate, even though it is the complete slate, I should say. But he said they did say that, you know, just like with the El Capitan slate, obviously things can change. Things can move a bit. So it may not be, you know, as seen on package when it comes out, but
right. I have a feeling there's very little time to change these. I feel like, I mean, I think Black Widow and all of these Disney Plus shows seem like they're going to happen. They're next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're already filming Black Widow. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eternals seems like it's going to happen. I still would not put it past them to be like secretly making an X-Men movie.
Oh, Yeah, I wouldn't put it past anybody.
No, I mean,
Warner Brothers might be doing it
instead of the Eternals.
you think instead of the Eternals?
That's been a theory that's been bandied around a lot. A lot of people like trying to take the cast of the Eternals and see which X-Men would they play.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but it's next year. You'd think they would want to get that out there soon-ish. But, like, what if we see all the stuff they're doing, we see them all on set making their movie, and then we find out it's been X-Men all along?
Hmm.
But I don't know. I could totally see... I don't know most of the people in this movie. Like, most of the actors. Angelina Jolie being the exception, obviously, and Selma Hayek. And... Angelina Jolie, Selma Hayek, and Kumail Nanjiani. But other than that, I don't think I really know anybody. I guess Paperboy from Atlanta.
Yeah, Paperboy. Paperboy.
Yeah.
You don't know Lauren Ridloff? She was in a bunch of The Walking Dead there.
Connie? She played Connie? I don't remember who Connie is.
Oh. Is she the deaf lady?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to look her up. Because I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. Okay. So I guess that's all. that's the slate. And we kind of intended to run down the slate and then go back and talk about each thing. But we kind of talked about that. Everything.
Yeah.
We did not dig very deep on Black Widow. There's a lot of Black Widow news.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything specific on Black Widow you wanted to bring up before we close out the cast here?
Well, I really like that David Harbour is in Black Widow.
Me too.
I like that he's playing the Red Guardian, and he says that he's basically like the Russian counterpart to Captain America, but that he's so unknown that they get to really do fun things, and there's a lot of an openness to their interpretation. It's a lot of what Momoa and James Wan and Zack Snyder got to play with Aquaman. Because, you know, not a lot of people know that guy very well, so they could just kind of do whatever, and no one's going to get pissed. I love that they're going to be talking about, they're going to be getting into Budapest. Like I said before, I love that Yelena's involved, the other Black Widow. I'm actually more excited about this than I thought I would be. Because, like I said, I haven't really paid much attention to it. I didn't even know Rachel Weisz was still acting.
She's been in a few things. I feel like she's always making movies. She makes a lot of independent things. I'm always hearing about her.
Yeah.
I'm a big Rachel Weisz fan. I like her a lot.
Oh, I know. I know you do.
I'm a big fan of Rachel Weisz. And so I just, you know, my ears perk up whenever she's in something.
That's not your ear. Oh,
they said they're gonna touch on Budapest.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty cool.
And they did release footage at Comic-Con. Brandon Davis over at comicbook.com actually wrote up a description. Should I go over that, or do you
want
to just
tell us screw the description?
All right. He says footage goes back to the Age of Ultron flashbacks, cut over to scenes from Avengers Civil War. She narrates and says she got this family because of it. She's made mistakes. She betrayed Tony by stopping Black Panther. The Marvel Studios logo plays, then Budapest. She goes in a spiral staircase, entering a room with a gun. I know you're out here, she said. Want to talk like grown-ups? She comes face-to-face with Pew's character, I believe it's Yelena, and they aim at each other as Pew backs into a kitchen. They end up in a fight with their hands, destroying the kitchen. Black Widow tries to hold her down and gag her with a towel, but ends up getting tossed over. Cabinets are destroyed. A knife is pulled. The score is reminiscent of the Winter Soldier appearing in Captain America: The Winter Soldier. A magnificent fight follows as in the living room as the women end up trying to choke one another out with a curtain. Natasha calls her sis, and they have a drink. Cut to motorcycle chases, gunfights, running through streets, jumping through windows. I got red in my ledger. I'd like to wipe it out. Taskmaster, complete with a logo on a shield and mask, takes shots from her and blocks them. The two fight on a bridge at night after a logo plays. They move very similarly.
Mm.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it does. Sounds real good. I mean, you know, I'm on board. There's no way I'm not on board for this, but I'm really glad that she's going to get her due finally. Like my main thrust of how I feel about this movie is just finally.
I suspect that this is going to be a passing of the torch to Yelena Belova.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that there's a need for a passing of the torch. I know that we're going to find out there are.
Is there a need for a passing of the torch to Kate Bishop?
No, there's definitely not. But I just don't know that we need another Black Widow, but we may get one, and that's fine with me.
I would be fine with it.
I'd be fine with it. I don't really, like I said, don't really need it, but I'd be fine with it.
For whatever reason, it makes me more excited about it. Like, it's not just going to be, I feel like it's not just going to be a prequel, which, you know, I'm not a huge fan of prequels.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think is Budapest is going to be a prequel though, right? Like they're going to show flashbacks of it and stuff. So yeah, I like that they're going to go. Yeah. I mean, it is a prequel to Endgame, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be a little all over the place.
I think David Harbour was talking about how this movie shows you a lot of how she got to the point she was in Endgame, where she's willing to sacrifice herself like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of that's going to have to do with, I'm really hoping Hawkeye is in this. I mean, the Budapest, so he is, right? Or
they already
announced he's in it, or no? I haven't heard an announcement.
I haven't heard anything about him being in the movie.
But the fact that it's going to be Budapest and her talking about how she, it makes her sacrifice make more sense or whatever, I have a feeling that might be related to him deciding to save her instead of killing her in that old Budapest or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Jason, my co-host at DC on Screen, I was telling him, I was like, Saturday night, I'm just sitting there like hitting refresh on my phone, waiting for them to announce John Bernthal as Wolverine.
Man, he'd be good.
He would.
He'd be a real good Wolverine.
You know who I'm actually starting to gear towards with Wolverine?
Who?
A lot of fans have been really pimping the idea of Daniel Radcliffe.
Weird. I mean, he's hairy.
I mean, yeah, he's hairy as crap. He's a little short dude. He's kind of buff. He could get jacked. I've seen a lot of fan art for it. I'm kind of starting to think, like, you know, that could work. In a weird way.
I only know him from Potter, so it's really hard for me to imagine him playing that sort of a gruff character.
I remember him playing a complete asshole in Extras.
Yeah,
and he's playing a version of himself.
He's playing sort of, I don't know, what's a good word for it? He's just sort of high-pitched voice, sort of pibsqueaky. I don't know. He's got that sort of nerdy vibe. I feel like I don't know that I see him as a Wolverine, but we'll see. It's weird because now we're getting all these people cast for these movies who are from the next generation. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, we're going to start getting all these, like, probably the next group of X-Men will be all people that I don't even know who they are.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you meant like LeVar Burton was going to play Cyclops or something.
Oh, no, sorry. Not that next generation.
Because, you know, it makes sense because of his history with the visor.
Indeed. Oh, man. Well, that is about all, I think, for this old podcast about the San Diego Comic-Con announcements. All of this stuff will be talked about a lot more in the coming weeks. I'm sure you all have thoughts on it. Get your feedback in. We're going to do as much feedback episodes as we can in these coming weeks, and we're going to get caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. next week. It's been fun talking to you guys. Thanks for coming on, David.
Man, thanks for having me.
Tell them where they can find you.
You can find me out behind the Captain D's on Route 12. Oh, DCOnScreen.com.
Yeah. DCOnScreen.com or search your podcaster for DC on Screen. It's there.
That's right.
Absolutely should go subscribe to that right now. It's a really good podcast. Him and Jason are fun and funny, and they just cover everything DC. They basically do what we do, only slower.
Yeah, and you know what? That's true. You know what? We just dropped our Lucifer season 4 review because I finally got around to it, and it was actually pretty fantastic season, and we had a good time talking about it. But when we were recording, San Diego Comic-Con was going on. So while the movies, the DC films, weren't at Comic-Con this year, the TV shows were, and like crazy shit got announced. Like Brandon Routh is playing Superman again, while also playing the Atom.
Oh, wow.
And wait, Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Oh, neat. That's fun.
And Burt Ward is coming back. He's going to be in Crisis, I hope, as Dick Grayson.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm pretty, we're pretty happy. We're pretty excited.
That makes me want to get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
But why? Why they do this to me? Last year, I just watched the crossover. That's all I did.
Because mm-hmm.
I was
mm-hmm.
like, I wanted to stay up on the crossover. But it meant very little to me because I didn't know what was going on with any of the characters' lives. So I just like enjoyed the crossover for what it was.
Yeah, that's one way to go about it.
There's too much of it. I like keeping up with all the Marvel stuff, and then trying to watch the other things that I really love. If they did 10 episode seasons or 13 episode seasons even, I'd probably still be watching them. But 22 episodes, I just can't.
I believe they are starting to go in that direction. Like Black Lightning, for instance, is like, you know, 13 episodes a season now.
Okay.
You know, I think Batwoman is going to be about 10 to 13. So I think they're slowly like, and you know, the new season of Arrow, the final season of Arrow is going to be 10 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And we are not ignoring the fact that that's pretty much going to wrap up right around the time Crisis on Infinite Earths comes out. So
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like something might happen to somebody's character.
Holly, no.
You guys should absolutely check out DC on Screen. You know, I know that there's a little bit of a rivalry with Marvel and DC, but when that new Aquaman 2 or Wonder Woman 2 or whatever comes out, or the Joker movie, you know you're going to be looking for the kind of content of people talking about it. So even if you don't want to like go and listen to 500 episodes of DC on Screen, like you should absolutely go subscribe now so that when the next big DC thing comes down and you want to hear people talk about it, you can go find these guys. They're great. DC on Screen, do it.
Oh, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
But we are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at MCUcast.com, at MCUcast on Twitter, Facebook.com/MCUcast, MCUcast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. If you'd like to support the podcast, we have a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/MCUcast. We appreciate all of our patrons over there. And speaking to them, we're probably going to be doing a lot of our commissioned episodes. So if you are a person at the $3 level or above, you can get a commissioned episode. And let us know what you're thinking, because we're about to probably go into a stretch of only Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being on the air. So we're going to be doing a lot of those sorts of things in the off season. So, and we're talked about possibly doing some of the covering Venom and Spider-Verse. Since Kevin Feige, apparently, I don't know if we said this on the cast yet, Kevin Feige announced that he is acknowledging now that it is likely the Venom movie will connect to the Spider-Man Spider-Man Homecoming Spider-Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, shit, that's disappointing.
Well, have you seen it?
No, Venom? It looked awful.
Yeah, I hear you, but it did really well. I heard from a number of people that it was actually good. I don't know.
Okay.
Almost everyone I know didn't see it. Like Jeff, all right. Jeff says the same thing every time we bring it up. He's like, "Oh, but why? Why would they even think about it?" And I'm like, "Did you see it?" And he's like, "No." So we're gonna watch it and give it a shot. Probably.
That's fair. Like I've heard people I trust go, "It's 2004 good."
Yeah, that sucks. That's pretty scathing indictment. I feel that way about every one of the X-Men movies. Feels 2004 good.
Oh, not everyone. Logan is...
Oh, yeah. Logan's great. Deadpool's great.
Far and above.
If you count those two. But, I mean, the X-Men proper. Like, the ones that are... named X-Men whatever.
Yeah, I still need to see the Dark Phoenix.
Oh yeah, I haven't seen that yet either. I've seen every one of those in the theaters, and I probably missed Dark Phoenix because it just fizzled for me. My passion for the X-Men movies fizzled.
Do you want to know a mild spoiler?
Maybe mild. Give a spoiler alert to everyone else. Spoiler alert for Dark Phoenix. Tell me your spoiler, my friend.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard that at the end of the film, a bunch of agents, of like soldiers,
come in with the MCU badges.
Yes, they have MCU badges. And they round up all the mutants.
Yeah, I did hear that.
That is the funniest shit ever.
That is super funny. That maybe may make it worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, I have all of the X-Men movies. Like I have all of them on DVD or Blu-ray. I've seen them all, except for Dark Phoenix at this point. So I will get the Blu-ray. I just don't want to spend any more money on it. Other than that,
then you already
you know what
to,
I mean,
because of your compulsion. Yeah.
But like, you know, Logan makes that franchise worthwhile in a lot of ways. I like a lot of them, but dislike some of them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think and for their time, they were great. For 2001 or whatever, when the first one came out, or 99 or whatever it was.
It was 2000.
Those are amazing movies for their time.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I watched Apocalypse, I was like, I feel like they have not developed since 2000 or whatever. Like this still feels like the same, they're doing the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree with you. Yeah. Mostly.
Anyway, well, guys, thanks for hanging out. We'll be back real soon with lots of Marvel content. Thank you, David, for coming on. Check out David C. Robertson everywhere you get podcasts on the DC On Screen. And, hey, our Star Trek Universe podcast. If you enjoyed this dynamic, this is exactly what we do over on the Star Trek Universe podcast. We just did a big
Picard episode.
Yeah, we just talked about Marvel. we just did a big Picard episode because there's the great Picard trailer out, which we're really excited about. Until next time, true believers.